This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Assad finally goes to watch a non-league team, and 2 days later, they fold.
The curse of Monday is alive and well. G-Unit.
But.
We in here.
But.
We can get the drama popping, we don't
care. But.
I'm going down.
But.
Because I'm around.
But.
50 Cent.
You know how it gets down.
What up, blood?
What
up, cuz?
What up, blood?
What up, gangster? It's the 50th episode of Reminding You Why You Love Football. James Bird finally gets to fucking rap in the booth, and look at him. It's the happiest I've seen him since I've known him.
They say I walk around like I got an S on my chest, but that's a semi-auto, not a vest on my chest.
Oh, that
damn, girls.
That might be your worst accent yet. Anyway, today there are five of us in the studio for this 50th episode. James Bird has been relegated to the grassroots headphones, which he's not very happy about, but he's done a bit of 50 Cent, so we are cooking. And we, us people in here, are known as the standard bearers of football podcasting. By who, I hear you ask? Ooh. Not each other. No. We call each other much worse than that. By Jack Harris, 1904, who said, I came across the podcast doom-scrolling through social media some 6 or 7 months ago. I've not looked back since. Football became a part of my life comparatively late to most, like Assad. So I've limited football and nostalgia to be reminded of. A lot of the podcast, therefore, is a bit of a history lesson for me, but one delivered by the most entertaining of teachers, whose love and passion for their subject is infectious.
Oh.
It's never a chore to attend this class. It's the absolute pinnacle of my week. There really is something for everyone and a sense of humanity and storytelling that you just don't find in other podcasts.
Yeah.
I love what I heard so much that, after only 2 episodes, I took a train to King's Cross to pick up my copy of W.H. Smith there, as the magazine wasn't stocked in my local Cambridge branch.
Wow.
It is now, and although I'm a subscriber and get magazines delivered to my door, I still pop in on my way to work to put Mundial where it belongs, the front of the shelves.
Yeah.
There will always be money set aside in my student budget for the most important item on my reading list. Don't forget your drugs, mate. Because it's all fucking downhill after.
Yeah. So Owen, Make the most of it.
Make the most of it.
Yeah.
If you're thinking,
best
should
years
you take,
of your life.
If you're thinking, should you take the hardship loan? Yes.
Yep.
Should you fucking lie, say you're the first person in your family to go to university to get another loan? Yes. Yes. To Owen, Seb, James, Tommy, Assad, and all that contribute, thank you. Not for reminding me why I love football, but for teaching me why. Viva Mundial.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's my favourite one.
When he said he got the train to King's Cross, I thought it was going to be, and I sit outside the window every Friday afternoon and watch them. They don't know I'm here, and I follow a different one of them home every week.
There's just a red dot appears on his head.
So I was looking around and having a bit of a think for 50. Like, 50's are often seen as a big number. It's a 50 in cricket. You will celebrate your half century. It's a... There's often top 50s of things.
It's a bloody bull.
It's a bullseye at darts, yeah. Apparently, there's lots of symbolism for 50 in the Bible. Also, apparently...
Early doors, nice.
Angel number 50, in particular, carries a powerful message from your angels. The symbolism of this number is associated with positive changes, spiritual awakenings, and new beginnings. Number 50 holds great power as it represents the angelic realm. When you see 50 repeatedly, it's your angels trying to get your attention. So joining me today are Assad... Gabriel, the messenger of God who brought the announcement of Christ's birth to the Virgin Mary, Raza.
Wow. The main one.
He's been called worse.
Yeah.
This morning.
You won't get called better than that.
James Raphael, the healer and protector of travellers, Bird.
Oh, that's nice.
That's true.
I'd say, yeah.
You are a friend to the travellers.
He is a friend to the travellers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two rollies, a load of bullshit about a book he got 10 years ago. But to protect him nonetheless.
Two rollies.
Seb...
Here we go.
Uriel, the angel of prophecy and wisdom, White.
Mm.
And Tommy Michael, the dispenser of justice, often Rough Justice Stewart.
Oh, Rough Justice.
That's his username on Grindr.
Can we?
That was the joke. I'm your host. I am your host, Owen Lucifer Blackhurst.
Yeah. And we are
4.9 on Apple, 5 stars on Spotify, and we best fucking get on with it because there's a lot to get through.
Yeah.
If you've already started to dance thinking, where's the fucking Adventures in Clubland soundtrack, theme tune, whatever it is? Well, it's not here today because we're doing something a little bit different for this 50th episode. And we have in our Discord group, the most loyal of the Monday Island Reminding You Why You Love Football army are there. We've asked them for some questions. And we are now going to answer these questions today. Some will be quick fire, some will be a bit longer. Some we might not get through, but we're going to try and get them all. And we also asked on Instagram as well. So, first question, and I'm going to put this to Seb first. What's your earliest football-related memory? And that's from X Stevo Chester X on Instagram.
It was the 1985 FA Cup final in my front room, and my dad getting really irate with the video player because he was recording it, and then calling the referee all sorts of things when he sent off Kevin Moran.
What did he call him?
Well, wanker. Yeah, wanker was definitely the very first swear word, I think.
And just take us into deepest, darkest Somerset in the mid-80s. What sort of wallpaper did you have?
Oh, I know we had a brown sofa with thin white pinstripes, which we had for the whole time. A really fluffy grey carpet. But I remember we had Betamax video player. And it was one of those ones with the proper buttons that you press down and stuff like that. And it wasn't quite working because my dad wanted to record it to be able to watch it back. But I do distinctly remember him running around the room when Norman Whiteside scored that goal.
Betamax, of course, only failing because VHS succeeded on the back of the pornographic industry.
Exactly.
Assad, seeing as it was only last week, we won't ask you your earliest.
Fair enough.
But Birdo, your earliest football memory?
I have two, and similarly, both are from in my front room. The 1998 World Cup. I remember Beckham. I remember the Owen goal. I remember Beckham being sent off, and I really, really vividly remember there was a clock in the kitchen. I remember going through and looking at the clock and saying to my dad, "Ronaldo, where's Ronaldo? Ronaldo's not playing." So there's that. And the second one, which I believe is probably 8 months after this, is Wolves played against Arsenal in the FA Cup semi-final. And they, they had Anelka and George Ray up front, and we had Steve Claridge and Don Goodman up front. And,
I'll tell you what though, who would you prefer a night out with?
Yeah. I like Don Goodman.
Ray and Anelka probably.
Why don't you like Steve Claridge, sir?
He has had quite a big association with the Bastards in Claret and Blue, so yeah.
Oh, he played for Weymouth for a bit.
Oh, dear.
That well-known derby. What's your earliest football memory, Tom?
Going to watch my older brother play with my dad and my younger brother for Condover, Sunday League football.
Condover, place I haven't been for a long time, bloody hell.
And I would have been wearing, I had a unbranded, unofficial Man United shirt that my granddad got me with Cantona on the back, and my brother had the same shirt with Giggs on the back. I don't know where he got them. I loved going to watch him play, and that was that was what got me into it. And then straight away, I said to my dad, "Can I do that? Can I play Sunday football?"
That's nice.
Oba, very nice.
I've written about it before. There's probably, like, if I really scrunch my eyes, but I think it's the floodlights keeping me awake when I was a kid. Yeah. Even with the curtains closed, it was like
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Closing Curtains of the Third Kind.
Yeah, I very vividly remember kicking a ball against the wall in the garden as well. I remember that. There was a low wall and you could kick against it, but yeah, I remember that. Thank you for that, Steve O'Chester.
Does Assad actually not get to answer it?
Well, it was like Man United beating Liverpool. 4-3, wasn't it? But he can start with this. Alien. This is from Ham on Discord. Aliens land on Earth and want to understand the love for football. What match or matches from history are you sitting them down to watch?
Oh, from history, you say?
Manchester United.
No, it'd be...
probably mine.
It'd be the World Cup final in 2010, I reckon. Do you know why? Because pretty, like, stodgy 120 minutes of football. Nigel de Jong performing open heart surgery on Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
And all of that, and then one moment of genius at the end, and you understand, you know.
That's a bloody great answer.
That is a fucking brilliant answer, Assad.
Thanks,
Old soul.
But do you think they'd get that far, though?
Oh, yeah.
Suppose they have to.
I mean, I'd have the aliens at gunpoint, so I don't know.
Would you? Ray gun.
Yeah.
Seb.
That's what I would have used. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I just got that Mars Attacks image in my head.
What film?
You look a bit like the fella off the...
Danny DeVito.
I have a mate who's definitely afraid of Danny DeVito.
I think Man United v Arsenal in 99, semi-final.
Oi.
Had absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And literally, like,
it did.
That could have turned, you know, and one of the best things about Giant was talking to people who were there and at the games from both sides, and appreciating that rivalry, and I think that rivalry is still the last great English rivalry.
Aliens land on Earth and want to understand the love for football. What matches would...
I suppose, like...
One of the Liverpool-Newcastle 4-3. Oh, I think, yeah, I'd give them joy straight away, because really, yeah, I want to go back with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking come on, take me off. I could make up my own rules for football when we went back to their land.
Oh, that's true.
Like a true dictator.
Yeah, would you keep offside?
Would you tilt the game in your favour?
He says he's not thought about this.
Well, see,
I would. Yeah, I would. Goalkeeper's going to be in trouble.
Oh, come on. Yeah. We've got enough trouble, is it?
First up against them.
Yeah. Can't use their hands. Oh,
that's all right for me, actually. I don't use them much.
I'm fair in it. If you could be... This is a nice one. Is a nice one. Mm. Seb, I'm going to start with you on this. If you could be part of any squad in football history, which one would it be and why?
See, this is the stuff.
I know what Seb's is going to be, but...
England squad, Euro 96.
Oh, not Italian 90?
Good answer. No,
England squad, Euro 96.
Good answer, is it?
The day of...
The most predictable. The second most predictable answer.
Yeah, but that's why it's good.
The day of and the evening of the Holland game.
Yeah. Oh, great. Not before, when they're in doing the...
in Hong Kong. No. Because that's just any night on the piss, that.
Yeah.
Do you want a special night on the piss?
I want one where you've united the country and given them one of the best moments in football.
Yeah, just to smash the last vestiges of total football.
Yes, exactly.
Broke it on the wheel of Venables' Christmas tree.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I can see you in that team as well.
Yeah.
Seb, he's like third choice keeper.
Ian Walker.
Ian Walker. Oh my fucking hell.
I was going to say
same
that.
Haircut.
That's, whew, if we were all in the Euro 96 squad.
Except that's perfect.
If you're Ian Walker, who are we all then?
You're Robbie Fowler, I think.
Doesn't play a minute. Yeah, okay.
but he's good. Good.
No, fair
keeps
enough.
It all together. That's sad. You're Gary Neville, young buck. young buck.
Oh my God, kill me.
A fresh young buck who we're all going to look after, and he's going to be most of the time all right, but sometimes a real twat.
Birdo's Darren Fair Anderton, enough. Undoubtedly a good footballer, but basically becomes the punchline of a joke for the rest of his career.
No, I was thinking more of him, Jamie Redknapp.
That's...
What gets injured at half time and never really does it again?
Yeah, unfortunately.
We're saying similar things.
Yeah, saying similar things.
Why?
Got the quality. No, Jamie Redknapp, because you've got the quality and the skill and the. But it just doesn't happen. You're really unlucky.
Why do I get injured? Why?
Well, because that's just you, isn't it?
No.
You're unfortunate.
You're creative and brilliant.
How am I unfortunate?
Unfortunate things are always happening to you.
I don't know if that's true.
Oh, I've lost this, or I've broken this, or I've got to do this, or I've got
unlucky.
To do that. Yeah.
You're unlucky. You've got it all in.
You're unlucky.
You've got the future of being the England midfield, but it just... Like the same way you scored two goals and not a hat-trick at Molineux.
Yeah, you're the opposite
I don't mean it like in a horrible
he's
way.
He's talking about football.
You're the opposite of a rabbit's foot.
Yes,
Gaza.
No, God, no.
No,
oh, you don't
no.
want to. You don't want to be Gaza.
No, you don't want
Tommy's
to.
Gaza
at that moment.
Shit, he's beat me to
for
it
for that moment in time.
Am I Gaza?
No,
I'll take Gaza.
Brilliant, beginning.
No,
imaginative. But what? Beguiling?
No.
You can't speak, can you? Beguiling?
No, not at all. No, you're definitely not. No,
Tommy's Gaza.
You're crafty. You've got this great skill that's just ready, and it's just unfortunate.
Come on, you changed the game against Scotland. Jake, this is just how you're seen in your peer group.
Yeah.
Only by you.
Not a bad one. No, I've just said it. I mean it.
Yes, I've just said this.
Like you.
Anyway, so who's
Tommy?
Who's Tommy? No one's Gazza.
Stuart Pearce.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Emotional.
Really emotional. Just
the way I play football is.
Is he hard?
Yeah, like shit music.
I think so.
Not shit, that's the wrong word, sorry.
Like
heavy music, sorry.
Heavy?
Heavier. He's like
punk.
You
know, punk.
When he's in front of the microphone, he gives it. It'd be Stuart Pearce. Yeah.
You've just called the entire genre of punk one of the last great youth movements in this country. Shit.
I meant to say heavy. It was a mistake. I could see him doing that celebration after that goal. Really fucking...
Yeah. Yeah.
What squad would I? Oh God, would I like to be part of? Bloody hell! I mean,
it's a good question, isn't it?
It's a really good one.
It's the best question I think on the list.
I've got one. Quickly,
go on then.
Leicester 2016.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
What a fucking boring answer.
No, it's not. That took me ages.
You
imagine
hang
doing
with,
that.
You want to hang around with Jamie I'm Vardy not... for a year?
Ranieri,
Jamie Vardy, Markle Brighton,
Ranieri.
No. Who's who?
Mahrez. No. Kante. You're forgetting that. You think instantly going to the bad ones and not thinking of the good ones.
No, true.
Also, imagine doing that. Like,
I suppose you could get Mank lessons with Danny Simpson, couldn't you?
There you go. Yeah. Sorted. Yeah.
Kasper Schmeichel.
Danny.
Kasper Schmeichel.
I'd love. Yeah. It's a basic answer, but I'd love to go on the piss with. I would be a bench player on the Galacticos. Go on the piss with Zizou, Figo, R9, you know, Bex. What a great time that would be. In Madrid, in the noughties.
But Javier.
Pre-financial crash.
We did that as a dream.
Yeah.
Blunt rotation.
We'd be a pretty good squad.
What would you like, Bud? What squad would you be part of? Would it be a Wolves squad?
No. I'd definitely be a part of the Argentina team that just won the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just fucking that as a moment, that final, going back to Argentina and celebrating.
Squad.
The whole narrative.
You wouldn't be in the team.
Okay, fine. I would love to be part of that team and going back to Argentina to celebrate.
Squad. Going back to Leicester to celebrate.
There you go.
No, that's true. Fair
enough. It was a mammoth final. It was a gigantic football match, that was.
Yeah.
And could also be the answer for another question, the best match, the alien match.
Mine would be Nigeria 1996 Olympics.
Good answer.
Ultimate underdogs.
Yeah,
sleeping three to a room. Federation not backing you. Coach paying for everything. Here we fucking go. Brazil, Argentina on your bike. Super Eagle soaring.
Yeah,
me and JJ Okocha doing some fucking dancing afterwards.
That's a good one. That
on Carney's shoulders. Yeah. Me and Bonfrejo on the cigars on the sidelines.
Yeah,
fucking Babiaro just keeping an eye on him because he's only 17. And,
he's
not really meant to be in America, Celestine, but. You know, he did dance. Who's the most, at the moment, Mundial squad in the current Premier League, do you think?
Ooh.
I know I'd say it, but I'll tell you what, I don't think Liverpool's far off with that front three.
Yeah.
Diaz, Nunes and Salah. That's a Mundial dream, that is.
Yeah, Trent and Nunes. Trent as well. I think Trent's Mundial.
A red-headed Argentinian.
VVD.
Called Maka.
I think Virgil is obviously very Mundial.
Endo's very... like
a baptising goalkeeper.
Yeah, Endo in the middle.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
Yeah,
I think that Tottenham have a relatively Mundial team right now. I think Sonny. I think Brennan Johnson.
Yeah.
I think Kulusevic.
Yeah, that's not bad. Keeper.
Yep. I think Porro is a nutcase.
Yeah, he is mental.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
The doggy.
And
doggy's cool.
Yeah, he is.
Finally, we're going to finish on this. It might not make the edit because it's disgusting. And I want to hear what everyone says. On your hand, you have five fingers, correct? And the ability to dispense one liquid from each finger. It's unlimited and never runs out. What liquids are you all picking?
Who on earth is that in?
I love
disgusting,
it.
Disgusting, bro. James Bird.
To be fair, his name is Satanic X Ritual on Discord.
Yeah.
But satanic spelt like Satan.
Satan chicken.
The fake meat made out of wheat gluten. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be James right then.
Assad.
Okay, milk.
In your thumb?
Yeah, in my thumb.
What milk?
Just regular dairy milk.
It's James.
Cow milk. Full fat.
Full fat.
Skimmed.
Full fat cow milk.
Gold top on your thumb.
Brewed Yorkshire tea.
Yorkshire tea?
Yeah.
Entry level, but go on. You can have it. I'll allow it.
Reliable, isn't it? A brew any time on the go, just
yeah.
So okay. That's two.
Yeah. Tea.
Gin, tonic.
Yeah.
Water, because I never drink enough, so I could just do that.
Just suck your little finger.
Yeah, that's good, Asad. That's sensible.
You'd look good doing that, Asad. Just sucking your little finger.
Oh, thanks,
bro. James. What's coming out your thumb, brother?
It's always got to be milk out the thumb, isn't it?
No.
Is it?
No, I'm not having milk.
What?
Why do I want milk coming out of my hand?
That's true, actually. If you can go for brewed tea.
Thumb. Iced, cold, European, continental, cheap lager. Really fucking fizzy, really cold. Pointing finger. Where's this going?
Your trigger finger.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna lean towards Raza. And I'm going to say nice, fresh, not too cold water. Middle finger. Petrol.
Oh! Bang, bang.
Petrol.
Charge it up.
Good thinking.
Fill it up.
That's really good.
This one, really lovely fresh orange juice.
Oh.
Favorite. Even the one that I fucking do here, it's delicious, isn't it? All of us, we have a sip and we all go,
Oh yeah.
Nice. Can't be it.
And then this little pinky, this little piggy that went to town. I think just a fucking Diet Coke.
Oh yeah, nice. That'd be good.
I find Diet Coke really refreshing.
Last thing you need is any more aspartame.
Yeah, but it's just really refreshing. More refreshing than full fat Coke.
Coke Zero.
Full fat Coke feels too much like a meal.
A good spread there, Birdo.
That is a good spread, that.
Respect.
But how often are you just going to drink petrol? Oh, fucking hell.
I'm a diesel man. Oh, he might be a diesel man.
God.
Go right through him.
Okay. That's probably enough of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm Charlie Cooper. You might recognise me from BBC Show This Country, but I'm here to tell you how much I love Mundial magazine. For me, it's the fanzine of football, documenting the best of football culture forever. I'm very proud to admit I've been a long-term subscriber of Mundial for years now. But if you subscribe, you don't just get the magazine, right? You get loads of other perks, too many to mention, in fact. So join Club Mundial at mundialmag.com.
Do you know what we haven't done for a while? We're going to Hollywood, baby.
Oh! You ain't been to Hollywood, man.
Welcome to Hollywood. Yeehaw! Seb's decided Hollywood's in the Wild West. That's one of the reasons we had to stop doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
My algorithm is going fucking gangbusters at the moment for the type of stuff I like. I'm very happy with it. I think every time I share some Mundial stuff on my own personal story, I get a new fucking slew of algorithm stuff. Mm. Great.
Yeah.
And there I was, sat there on the sofa at some point over the long weekend. Boom. Up popped one of, it might be my favourite goal of all time that means nothing to me apart from the quality of the goal. And there it was, in glorious black and white, hair touching his shoulders, a rainy night in Newcastle, our old mate, David Ginola. I remember exactly where I was the first time I saw this goal, and I think that's probably one of the reasons it's so special, but also because it was a goal, I had no reason to celebrate it apart from the purity and the quality of what he did. And I was at Bridge North Youth Centre, I think this was 96, maybe 95, David Ginola v Ferencvaros in the Cup Winners' Cup, the UEFA Cup, Champions League, I don't know which tournament it was. And the ball gets punched out by the Ferencvaros goalkeeper, and Ginola moving backwards like a boxer and jumping back, he jumps back, takes the ball on his right thigh while he's in midair. The ball drops with him before anything touches the floor. Well, his left foot touches the floor. He flicks the ball up with his right foot over the defender, and everyone's watching it and you're just thinking, nah, he's not going to do it. Oh my God. And it's this left-footed volley that's dropped over his shoulder. So he's on his weak foot now. He's at this left-footed volley, top corner. And I remember jumping out of my seat at the youth centre. There was about 15 of us in there, like watching football and the goosebumps. And now even talking about it now, it is like, it's everything I love about football.
It's an amazing goal.
A mercurial, long-haired player who played for the fucking joy of it and to put bums on seats. And, you know, it was a fucking hell of a tear Ginola went on for those few years at Newcastle and then Spurs. Mm. Fucking, his level of performance.
PFA player, 1999, right?
I shared it and I just got loads of people fucking in my comments. Well, I remember where I was when I watched this and I was chatting to people. Some people I hadn't chatted to for ages. Some people I may not have chatted to before. I messaged all about the quality of the goal. And I remember writing about it for the mag. And I said that I think David Ginola would probably make excellent stepdad material in that he'd come back from France with a load of pokey claret, some gitan, and some kickers for you.
Yes. Shall we watch it?
Let's watch it. Yeah, have you ever seen this goal, Asad?
Yeah, I saw it on your story and I just went, fucking hell.
There you go. Oh. But the angle it was on my story the other day was from the other side. It was like the camera was in the crowd. This one. Look at that touch.
It's that touch.
He makes him jump out.
Takes it so the ball, lets the ball go so long.
He has a look up before he hits the left footed volley to see what's going on. He has time to have a look up on that second angle.
I mean, this has got everything.
One, two,
looks up.
Three. It's his left foot. And he knows it as well, doesn't he? He knows the goal he scored there.
This here.
He looks all right, doesn't he? Oh, he does look all right.
He's very handsome.
That touch to his thigh with the ball spinning back.
As he's moving away from it.
As he's moving away is a very, very specific skill. It's the thing that Ruben Neves does for the goal against Derby, where he flicks it and he's moving backwards with the ball spinning backwards.
Let's say, take some of the great goal scorers of our time, right? Ronaldo's going to probably end up with 1,000 goals.
Yeah.
How many goals as good as that has Ronaldo scored? Three, maybe over a kick.
I would say that he scored fucking. I don't like him, but I'd say he scored fucking loads of incredible goals. None of them have the elegance of that, though.
No.
I don't think Cristiano Ronaldo is elegant. I think he's very strong and skillful.
Or I think maybe he's over a kick against Juventus. Yeah, and his foot was 7 foot off the
air. It's still like strength and like agility.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
This is fluid. This is liquid. You could have that coming out your finger.
At United, I think there was he was slightly different, and I think he was elegant at United, but
when he was young,
I don't think
he was ever elegant. Like, he was always like a PlayStation player. For me, that's everything I like about football.
Yeah.
It's Newcastle in a completely different time when they're a very fun team.
Yeah.
Speaking of goals that like pure technique that you have little connection to outside of the technique, it reminded me of Dele Alli. When he flicked it over and scored that goal.
Against Palace.
Yeah. And also, a few weeks before that, Neymar did something very similar against Bilbao, where he flicked it over and it just went rolled onto his feet and went.
The Dele Alli thing is amazing because he has to do a complete 360 around it with his body, flicks it and then turns. And it's left footed as well, isn't it?
The thing I like about it as well, I love showboating, but every touch there is a showboating touch, but everyone is deadly and it leads to something.
Yeah.
Like I had the radio on the other day and someone hit a crossfield ball to Luis Diaz and said, Luis Diaz catching on his foot and he's showboating and he's off. And I thought, it's great. I can see him doing it, catching on his foot and just leaves it there. But then he loses the ball and it goes off and it's like, yeah, fine, whatever. Every touch. But just the everything about it, to control that ball on his knee like he does, in a way, it's difficult itself, but to set up the second touch, to set up the third touch, and even you can tell by the celebration with Schindler there, he knows what he scored.
He still keeps it quite cool, doesn't he?
Yeah, the angle of that, the second angle is.
I'm not sure I'd seen that second angle before.
Until you put it up, I suddenly went, whoa, that is.
It's not, pissing it down. It's
slow motion. It's not quite slow motion. It's a little bit slow.
What's he got on? Has he got some tiempos on or something? Has he?
He has. Yeah. Now you say it.
Yeah, tiempos. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
look at that. To anyone who says we've only been to football for 10 years and never liked it, I remember David Johnson's boots from 1996. You cunts.
Yeah, exactly. And where you were when you saw that back in fucking 96.
Bridge North Youth Centre, yeah.
Yeah, that's football.
Fucking lean as fuck. We had a bong hidden in the roof in the youth centre.
Oh, I thought you meant Ginola. he was quite fit.
He was lean there as well. We used to go and stand in the shitter. Make sure Baz Tench or Blade, the youth workers,
oh,
went there.
Oh, Blade.
We remember Blade.
Up in the roof.
Love Blade.
Taking out the panel. In the youth club toilets, back in the room to watch some football and get some free biscuits off one of the nice people.
Christ almighty.
what would have been doing if it wasn't for that youth club?
Yeah.
Been out robbing grannies? over Purton, robbing Purton?
Yeah, true.
You wouldn't come around Purton.
Not much to rob, I suppose.
No.
But we have... We've ended up with a small goblin. What are we going to do
after midnight?
What are we going to do with him?
Don't get it wet.
Roughly translated it as, we've kidnapped a 5-year-old.
Goblin. We've kidnapped a 5-year-old goblin. He was glowing green. What would you do? We're on the rob. There you go.
That was lovely.
Great.
We are now going on to Seb. Only Seb could have written this next.
Amazing.
The first line says, a re-evaluation of the Bob Lucas Stadium. So this will be the second time in a different Mundial organ, previous being the magazine.
Exactly.
And this is the second time Seb has got to talk about Weymouth's Stadium.
Let's put some clarification behind it.
Let's put some respect on his name.
No. I did this for the feature that was then called Around the World in 149 Football Grounds back in issue 18, which was made 2019.
Or its working title.
Or its working title in the folder structure was Phileas Knob, which I think is very good. I thought we...
Issue 18, Marseille front cover.
There you are, see.
A re-evaluation of the Bob Lucas Stadium.
This is...
No, but...
Oh, my descent into fucking madness.
The sun is shining. It's Bank Holiday Monday. I'm on a train. I'm bustling. I'm going to your...
Oh, he's back on the drink again, by the way. If you can't keep up,
you
business.
go into your rivals, the one that your dad's spoken about. 2,500 Yeovil fans taking over Weymouth. It was.
God.
Yeah, it was Bozzaterris.
It was. What was the worst rig out you saw from one of your fellow Yeovil fans that day?
Ooh. No, they were not the worst rig out. It wasn't a Yeovil fan, but the best thing I saw all day we were all outside Wetherspoons because that was the only pub that was allowed to be open for Yeovil fans. And it was sunny, so it was nice. We were stood near, you know, taking in the sun.
Got any apples?
And a bloke walked past and I went, fucking hell, hang on, that's not a scarf. No word of a lie. A bloke walked past, from a Weymouth guy, cotton tracky bees, just a plain white T-shirt, with a Burmese python round his neck.
Oh my God.
No word of a lie, taking his snake for a walk.
It's like long sight again.
Good day. Did you go to Weymouth for the weekend?
Just carrying it on his shoulder.
Because there was loads of police outside, but there was loads of police making sure the Yeovil fans weren't causing mischief.
Might take the snake.
This policeman had to go over and go, mate, you can't be walking round the streets with a python round your neck. You know, proper Burmese python.
That's what I said to James this morning.
And he did it to try and like intimidate the Yeovil fans.
No, not at all. He just says I do this all the time.
Just take me python.
Yeah, and Monday morning, wasn't expecting 600 Yeovil fans.
Did you have a word?
Outside Wetherspoons, who'd been drinking Jaeger bombs since 9 o'clock in the morning.
Had you?
No, I hadn't.
Well, shit.
You see it from the distance. It's a half an hour walk from the city centre, but you see the floodlights. The floodlights are proper. They're old school floodlights. You get in. You don't just get given the end. We got given the corners as well.
Oh.
So it just feels you've got this one main stand.
Yeah.
All the terracing around the outside. It's full because it's a derby and Weymouth have turned out for it as well. But, you know, the ground is more Yeovil than Weymouth.
Was it?
Yeah, it was 2,500 Yeovil fans.
So this is where you like it. It's like a military operation.
It's an event, yeah.
No, but it feels like...
Tactics.
That's what it is, isn't it, Jack?
So I'm on the side, and all I can see is...
There were 600 of us at the Wetherspoons there, 500 from the west, 300 from the north.
We took the corners.
200 by train, 300 by car.
We used the pincer formation.
Yeah. I'm Sebastian Dennis White.
It's got
husband to a pissed off wife.
You should have seen it.
Father to a daughter who's going the same way.
Their greatest weapon was a snake.
But we had the Bodger brothers.
And the Jolly Green Giant.
The Bodger brothers from Tiverton. We let them in. They're Devon, but we let them in. They're big lads. You should see the eyes of Terry's hands. Shire us,
six
we call
fingers,
him.
Obviously.
Shire us, we call him.
Come on. The game kicked off. Woo! There was a bit of... And I was stood on the side. So I almost had this view. And it felt like I was in a Stuart Roy Clark picture. And anyone who knows Stuart Roy Clark is one of the best photographers of football from back in the day. These old, amazing stadiums, fans...
Homes of football.
But it felt like football used to be. Doesn't mean that it should still be like that. But it was a nice realisation. And it was just...
When like hooligans and that. That's what you want.
No, I don't. No. Just good old school stadiums that people, you know, have had to repaint the same fence that's been there for God knows how long. And it just felt like a proper football match.
Yeah, unsanitized.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which is a great thing. Like, remember when they launched that fucking, the viewing lounge at Man City Stadium, whatever it is.
Oh. You know, was it that tunnel thing?
The tunnel experience. I can't think of anything worse.
Looked like Kevin De Bruyne was a fish in an aquarium.
Yeah, I don't want to see Carl Walker juggling his bollocks and fucking making shit. Phil Foden smell them before the game.
Look, that would be funny, but they're not doing that.
No, they definitely are doing that.
I don't want to see Pep walking back and forth in his stupid shoes.
No, he's...
Stone Island.
So not just that stadium, but there are stadiums still like that, and people should go and see them before they succumb and you know.
Why is it called the Bob Lucas?
He was an old chairman, I think.
And just so anyone who doesn't know, what was the result, Seb?
I can't hope we would avoid this bit, but the game was abandoned after 74 minutes.
You hoped we'd avoid this bit. Send us a picture of an air ambulance on the pitch.
No, there was a medical emergency in the stand, so the air ambulance had to land on the pitch. Fortunately, the lady is doing well now, so we're all okay.
Football as it used to be, it was so good. Everything was falling down.
But that
was
just
ambulance. Someone nearly died. It was awesome.
What I would say about that is, actually, it put it into some it did actually put it all into glorious perspective. Like, yeah. So
and did they have the antidote to the venom?
No, they didn't. They did not. Because all these other fans were like, what the bloody hell? What's going on?
He's got a bloody snake here. It's not an adder. It's a bloody Burmese python. Derek, he's got his python out again. Oh, not Jonesy.
The police.
All the girls say he's blessed.
Yeah. The police were
what's this aghast, big worm here?
You know, aghast. And didn't have a clue what to do.
What, the British police didn't have a clue what to do? What they do is whack him over the head with something.
Seb, can you remember what you wrote about the Bob Lucas Stadium the first time round and why it needs re-evaluating?
I was arsey because it was Weymouth, whereas actually your local rivals, they might be your local rivals, they might be the team that your dad, your granddad have spoken about forever.
Can I ask a serious question?
But it was genuinely...
You've gone back home.
Yes, I have.
You've gone to see Yeovil twice.
Yeah, I've
You've taken your daughter to properly watch a game at Hoosh Park for the first time.
That was lovely.
All your great picture, all your family there, your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, kids, blah, 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 blah. Great to see you back. And you've been away. Have they accepted you back? Because I noticed there's been on social media you've been outed as he's a fucking Hampton fan now. Doesn't matter what he thinks. Despite still turning up on Yeovil on radio to talk about Yeovil. So was that your first time back at the ground in 10 years?
Second or third time in a decade since that Sheffield United game. It was weird but lovely.
Because I just wouldn't bother. Like, have you been welcomed back? Or you just kept your nut down?
I kept my nut down a little bit because, it's... But I also did...
Difficult.
Yeah. 6'4" lumbering idiot.
But I suppose they looked at the python first, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. No, I did... But then I saw people that I hadn't seen for ages, and like Tim, who used to go and watch, he was on pre-season tours and used to go and watch Yeovil Home and Away, saw him in the Wetherspoons before, saw like Abby, who did interviewed for Giant and saw her mum and her grandma and stuff, and it was fucking great. And do you know what? I've done my shift at Yeovil, going to watch them home and away and stuff like that.
And as a...
done the fanzine, done was, all that. If people want to be funny about that, that's fine.
Exactly. What was it that the... Seb was described by the...
One of the board members, Stephen Allison.
Allison, he goes, it's fair to say Seb's a bit of an agitator around the place.
Yeah, it is. And but what I would say is, it genuinely did, it was great to see that ground... For 6,500 people enjoying football, there's a positive air about the place. That was really, really nice. It was lovely.
Good.
Lovely.
And do you think you'll go back more now?
Yeah, I think now I've made that step, and now it feels like it feels like the place that it used.
Did Ava enjoy it?
Ava liked it. Yeah, she enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean,
she just loves football, doesn't she?
She just loves football, but yeah, and it's
with Owen asking. About Hampton and Yeovil there, it's very much like, don't compare.
Just
enjoy them.
It is.
See, there's a little bit of respect between them.
Just enjoy them.
Enjoy them both.
We support these now.
We support these now, James Bird.
This week, I would like to support a young man known as Endrick.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, first up, I want to talk a little bit about the cult of the Wonder Kid, the Wonder Boy. And I think it's a very, very specific sort of thing where someone gets a narrative built around them and they're coming from a place where you haven't really seen them play very much. And, people start talking about a player and they get a move, as Endrick has to Real Madrid very, very early on. And there's this huge, huge mountain of expectation built around what is essentially... a young boy.
Well, Assad used to run a social media account based on this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's another more successful one called Wonder Kids.
Yeah.
You get your rising ballers. There's a whole industry.
A whole industry. It's a huge mountain, like a fucking fireball that that weighs down, I think, on players. And I don't need to go into detail, but you've seen it happen to so many young players who have this gigantic narrative built around them, so much money put into them, so much brand endorsements, and things can go wrong. And it's horrible to see. But it is also exciting when that narrative starts to build. And I think with Endrick, you have a young player who's got an incredible backstory. And I think that this is common with Brazilian footballers, especially because they have different backgrounds. Brazil has a huge, huge, gigantic chasm between the rich and the poor, and more so than we do in this country. And, you know, Endrick, his family was made homeless when they were growing up. He actually lived in an orphanage for a little while. His mom and dad were various poorly paid jobs for him to be able to do his thing. And ahead of Brazil playing against England, I was really, really excited to see him. I'd seen the compilations of him at Palmeiras. I knew that he'd signed for Real Madrid. I knew that he was the youngest player since Ronaldo to make his Brazil debut. But I'd never seen him play a full game or an extended amount of time on the pitch. I don't think he played brilliantly against England at Wembley. I
was at the game. And yeah. The one thing you could tell is, like, no, but, like, he's 17. But he was surprisingly incredibly strong playing against like grown men.
He was so excited. He tried about three nutmegs. Yeah. He tried two scooped passes. He was offside, I think, twice, just trying to break through. He obviously got his goal, which was, you know, well finished, but I think he missed two other chances. He was so excited to be on that pitch. And I never get that excited to watch England games, even in tournaments. I'm not a massive England fan, but I was so excited to watch England versus Brazil at Wembley, knowing that they had these, you know, on top of Vinny, on top of Rodrigo, that they had this young lad coming on, Endrick, and he was so excited to be on that pitch. To then follow that up with a goal against Spain, and the celebration that he did, where he comes over to the camera and he's handshaking the camera. I was like, this is like this young kid is handshaking the whole world. It's like such an entrance. Mm. He goes to Madrid, doesn't he, this summer?
Yeah, and I'm sure the Spanish fans in the provinces are going to let him forget that.
Yeah.
This is the difficulty with especially Brazilian players because of how they grew up playing. And, you know, there's you know, street football around the world is a huge decline. But also playing futsal, and they come to Europe. Do they get more and more of that joy squeezed out of them, like a tub of toothpaste, over the constant grind of week in, week out, Champions League, and all the shit that goes on in stadiums and big money moves and blah blah blah? Because remember how much fun Neymar was.
Yeah.
And now look at him.
Yeah.
He's basically trying to agitate just to get a move to into Miami to go and play with his mates again.
Yeah.
While having two saunas in his house in Saudi, and I just think, you know, Vinny's obviously the biggest case, and that's. Yep. But that is, his joy of football has been robbed from him.
Absolutely.
And he might never get it back.
Yeah.
So I like it's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because you want him to do so well.
Yeah.
But almost like, look at the players who've gone, who's the one who plays for Flamengo? Gabigol.
Yeah.
He went back. And look how much he's enjoyed his football going back to Brazil. I'm not quite sure what I'm trying to say here, but I know Europe's the right environment for the financial stability it gives to these players and their families. And like a lot of South American players have often talked, like Tevez has said, you know what I mean? I'm supporting 23 families.
Yeah.
So I'll fucking go where I want. You can fuck off. That's why he went to China in between his last two spells at Boca and all that. But like, is it the right place for them? Like,
well, I think this is what I mean. I think this is why I want to talk about Endrick in terms of we support these now, because I think that there is a massive fetishization as well of Brazilian football. I think that and everything, the history leads into that, the backstories that I've mentioned lead into that, the idea of samba, they all sort of lead into this sort of like big romanticization of the World Cups, like the yellow and the green, like this is so iconic.
The
World Cup that was held there, I feel like, obviously, whatever we can talk, we can romance. But that for me, a World Cup in Brazil felt even more special. So I think that there is such a weight on top of his shoulders already that adding all these different narratives together. And I just loved that moment of him looking down the camera and shaking hands. There was an interview with him in a Brazilian newspaper where he talked about what languages he's learning.
Yeah.
So he's learning Spanish as well. He's learning English. He's also learning sign language. He was just like, I know that already. He's such a mature head.
Yeah.
So there's loads of people who like me and are fans of me, and I want to be able to communicate with as many of them as possible. So I'm learning sign language. Great. Never heard a footballer say anything like that before. Yeah, and he's fucking 17. He's a teenager.
So there's real hope then.
I just think it's really exciting. And I think, Owen, what you're saying there is absolutely right, especially when you think about Vinny and what's happening with him in terms of his the fans at club level, international level, and on across fucking the dirt fucking pot of social media. I think that these young players with these narratives on the back of their shoulders and the hope and the sort of excitement that they show, the green shoots of excitement that they show when you first see them on a big stage.
European clubs bring Brazilian players in to be the individual and to be the, like, certainly attacking players, to be the, like, Ronaldinho lifting Barcelona from the gloom, right? But then it's often the thing that is then used against them on the way out as well. Their individualism is then turned into a bad thing when they're done with them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's why Ronaldinho gets booted out by fucking, you know, Pep and ends up sort of doing the rounds a bit after that and probably never really recovered. You know, you're right, the game has a bit of a duty of care to look at Endrick, to look after him, whether it will or not.
So, yeah, we support these now. Endrick, loved watching him, loved the backstory. I just want him to do fucking well.
Obviously, there's that stuff about him being a Pelé regent, which is funny, right? But did you see after his goal against England, he came out and was like, "Yeah, it was great for me to like score in the same place that Bobby Charlton scored and stuff like that."
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was like, "Damn, he really is a Pelé regent. He spawned in with his memories."
I love that though. That really makes me warm to him when he's just like his knowledge of the history of the game and that.
He's fucking great
at that age.
All right, Statman Dave here. You may know me from such things as that Peter Crouch podcast, the BBC, and being all over the internet.
I spend a lot of my time looking at numbers, and that's why sometimes I need to read some good old words. That's why I look forward to receiving The Hat-Trick, a weekly football newsletter from Monday Owl. Stories about heroes and villains, love and hate, last-minute winners, mad shirts, all delivered to your inbox. Sign up to The Hat-Trick today at mondayowlmag.com.
Hundred one things to do in football before you die. Visit your local stadium.
Feels like something I've heard before. There's a reason you did this, though, isn't there?
There is. I mean, I live 15 minutes away from Queen's Park. Rangers is like home ground. Recently, decided to go and see them for the FA Cup. Watched them play football. It was brilliant. I've never been that close to in a stadium. I've never been that close to the football. We were in the second row.
Loved to throw.
And when you can really like hear the sounds and like this, the light, the evening light over the Stambles, like, and it was brilliant.
Was it a response to you becoming a Stambol stan after researching him for the Hat-Trick?
It was inspired by that, yeah, basically.
I absolutely love Loftus Road.
It's great. It's a brilliant stadium, and proper I can't believe I've never been before.
But more than that, you had never been to a non-league game, had you, until recently?
Never.
And who did you go and see?
New Salamis.
Yeah.
Which are...
me and Seb Major.
yeah. Well, this was like Seb basically at gunpoint forcing me to go. But I did go and I have to get on a bus 20 minutes to Haringey, which they share the stadium.
With Haringey Borough?
Yeah. And they were great. They're like... I didn't know anything about them. They're like a Greek... So the team, they're the fans of a Greek Cypriot refugee team, basically. And then they came over here and they're all Greek. There weren't many people, there were like 30, 40 people. And yeah, it was like, what, £8?
Mm.
Got to go in.
What did you like most about it, since it was your first time at a non-league game?
He liked that the Greeks were speaking.
These guys just smoking next to them. Well, you could go right up to the pitch.
Yeah.
And go and like see the players and you could hear everything, and I really enjoyed. I mean, they won 5-1. They weren't bad.
A more sensory experience.
Yeah, full on. And also,
did you have a beer on the side?
No.
Oh, I didn't drink. Okay.
He's part of the new generation, isn't he?
Probably. They're not as into it, are they?
Mandy and Candy Floss. Mandy Floss.
Well, the takeaway from both games was it was just nice to see like football like played well and like just a more immediate experience, and I really enjoyed that, and I don't get that watching United at all really anymore. I should probably mention the day 2 days after they announced they were folding.
The curse of Monday is alive and well.
I shouldn't laugh.
The team,
they're
God,
they won 5-1.
New Salamis, 2 days after he went,
they're folding their men's team.
Oh, bless. Sorry for laughing.
No, it's funny.
It's very Monday Owl.
That's
that and they is, were so good. It's not like quality, wasn't it?
I think just... that's the greatest Mundial curse I've heard of.
Assad
finally goes to watch a non-league team, and 2 days later,
2 days
they fold.
We'll keep that one short and sweet. I think Assad, like you.
Zing.
I need to go and watch more non-league football. I used to go a lot. I feel like, you know, you said you before, you've done your time at non-league football. Mm. I reckon I've seen Bridge North Town play 500 times. I've had my local heroes, but I would like to watch more. But I've talked about it before. None of the teams around me are right.
You know when they're right. Yeah, yeah. I knew of West Isbury and Shoreham. Although, however, on the non-league day that I did that thing for and you did that for, I went round Manchester to as many grounds as I could. That Stalybridge game. Fucking hell.
How many games did you go to?
Four.
Watch them all in their entirety?
No, just as many between 3 and 5. But that Stalybridge game was so good that we had to stay for the whole second half. Like, it was the opposing team, the away team, scored 2 in the first 3 minutes. And because it's a downhill pitch, a lot of teams go there and shoot from the halfway line straight from
fucking
the
kickoff. Yes.
They'll practice it in training in the week. That's
no.
That's what they did. Yeah, because it's that downhill. And people will have shots from 30 yards a lot, but because you're pretty much level with the top corner from about 30 yards.
Well, Bridge North Town had a
if you hit a fucking daisy cutter?
Yeah.
It's ending top corner.
I saw a goal like that. Anyway, the game ended fucking 4-3. Players and fans, like the whole big cop end, which is very big for non-league,
it's just big.
Embracing each other, like kids on the pitch, fucking crying and hugging. Amazing flags. The old man was telling me about it, who's like worked there since 1993, and they've got all these like...
What was he saying? He's saying this happens every week.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Great.
I'm just going to do a little quick thing on... I suppose it's 101 things to do in football before you die. It's about the friends you make through football. I think for about 10 years, I would say 90% of the friends I made was... sitting on various kitchen tables till 5 a.m, chatting shit, Note Between My Nose and a South Park DVD many a time, etc. I won't go too into it, but...
I just can't believe you use South Park DVDs.
Ozzy Osbourne autobiography. Well, not an autobiography, actually. An Ozzy Osbourne biography. That was used for many years. Ended up fucking white, the cover of it.
Birdo used Captain Corelli's mandolin.
But the last 2 years, and obviously I worked in cricket for a while, and I made some really good friends in cricket, but you know when people just aren't necessarily, as a whole in that sport, aren't necessarily your people. Like, a lot of them are, I'd say most of them, especially the journalists, are private school, and going into those press boxes could be quite intimidating. Mm. It's that sort of people, and I don't really get that. And then, working with you guys, obviously, you've all become, as we spoke about earlier, you've all become really close friends. The lads I sit next to in the season tickets, I'd say the first year, we said about 5 words in a season when I had my season ticket with them. Mm. They've been friends since childhood, and then slowly started, talking about the game, moaning about the odd thing, to the point where now, we text outside Old Trafford and we organise, FA Cup semi-final trips, etc.
That's good.
And that's happened
aren't those 15-year-olds who tried to beat you up. Finally cracked them.
Really good mates now, actually.
And then the other group. So there's sort of 3 really big, important friendship groups in my life. And one of them is you guys. One of them is those guys at United. And the third is the people I've started playing football with in the last 6 months. And, we're starting talking about kit designs, and we're getting Village Bookstores to sponsor. They're going to sponsor our kit. And that is probably, for my mental health and my happiness, playing football twice a week with that group of people. And I've played football with 6 or 7 big groups of mates or people throughout my life, like my first junior club, sixth form team, school team, a bunch of lads I played with in my 20s, all different groups. But this one feels, and to be honest, what you were saying before, Owen, about, that generation, your generation, not drinking, a lot of the lads and girls I play with, they're sort of 24, 25, 26, and they don't. There's not a big drinking culture. Mm. There's not a big lad culture.
You'd fucking hate it, Seb.
But
They might lead me astray.
To the point where they've started listening to this podcast and they listen out for the little shout outs. They, you know, and they've become a really
important
group of friends.
That's what this is. It's a bloody goosing opportunity. For fucking God's sake.
No.
Listening to the shout outs, he mentioned me.
Yeah, and I feel like the sort of, you know, the older statesman. It's quite funny, like when you get to your mid-30s and suddenly you're like, all right, I'm the... Even though they've probably all got like girlfriends and their lives together, I'm like the mature one here. I'm supposed to be anyway. But yeah, that's it.
Lovely.
Football, friends you make through football. And
football,
I've made
bloody hell.
Yeah, I made a lot of friends through football through my life, but mainly over the past couple of years who have become really important to me.
Right, well, that takes us straight into ins and outs, outs and ins and outs, outs and ins. We're going to try and do two lots of ins, two lots of outs each. And my first one was about the emotional connection of football, which Tommy's just sort of talked about there. But it was sort of brought about by seeing Jadon Sancho have a blinder in the Clásica against Bayern Munich and the realisation that how much he feels wanted and loved there. He suddenly started playing very well again. Upstaged Harry Kane, was one of the best players on the pitch. Great to see. Don't know where he'll end up next. Might make a bad move, depends who he's got. And also doing this, and that there's a lot of podcasts that will be more successful than this in terms of pure numbers. Making things that people love and genuinely look forward to and leave reviews like they leave for us isn't easy. It might seem like we just turn up, but we do think about it. But not only isn't easy, not everyone can do it, because if they could, they would. And in a world where all that seems to often matter is the big number or something with zeros on it, it doesn't really matter at all.
No.
Because you listen to 100 things that 100,000 people listen to or watch, doesn't mean they're good. Which means they're popular.
Spot on.
And what do the fucking general public know about anything, I say?
I just hate the general public.
Yeah, so that's it. Anyway, Seb.
Nice.
Planning a European away day with my daughter.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, Seb said he definitely wasn't, going to take his daughter to Barcelona away. Where are you going, Seb?
We're going to Barcelona and we're going to the Olympic Stadium to watch Chelsea Women's in the Champions League semi-final. And just the excitement of doing something like this, just a bit daft, too expensive, silly, but also, why not?
Barcelona! Right. In. We'll move through the football ones fairly quickly.
Imagine you get on that plane and the bloke with the snake around his neck.
or Emma Hayes having a go at you.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Just getting tickets to Wembley, seeing your team at Wembley.
For a semi-final?
Semi-final, yeah.
Out. Semi-final should not be at Wembley, they should be.
I agree, but still, it's a fun trip.
Out.
We'll be there in the final as well.
Out. James?
First time passes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Lovely.
Pinging it in.
That doesn't sound like a pass, that sounds like a finish. What are you doing there?
No, it's a pass.
So you've already done the pass.
Ball comes in, often with your back to goal as well, and you play that first time angled pass, whether it's to a fullback, whether it's to the outside of your foot to someone.
In Chechi in your living room, which I imagine this is exactly. Matilde, chuck it in. Matilde, take a throw in. James, I don't want to take a throw in.
She's got a great dive.
Assad.
Discovering old heroes.
Like me.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if you've seen the link I put in. It's a TikTok video. It's an edit of Ken Wynn Jones' soundtrack to Skepta.
Ken Wynn Jones, Cardiff and Sunderland.
Ken Wynn Jones doing like overhead kicks.
Stoke?
6-7. And it's a Skepta song attached to it. And it's
class.
Insane. Great. I saw a Bobby Zamora one the other day.
Oh.
Bobby Zamora to like MF Doom.
Sick.
Love how these are old heroes to Assad.
Yeah. I think they're still playing.
That's what Zamora score against Yeovil.
In, out. I'm going to go straight in on the numbers. Very similar to what I said, but about how you cannot watch a game now. Recently, Liverpool beat Brighton 2-1. Fantastic game of football.
Yeah, very good.
Salah missed a few chances, but that's all. They couldn't fixate on anything. But you know, he's had 11 shots today and he's only scored one of them. He scored the winner. So they've taken away all the good bit.
Yeah.
Because all you can say about that is he scored the winner to talk about things that mean nothing.
Yeah.
They actually mean nothing in the context of the result. Yeah, I mean, they could have won 5-1, but that's not the point, is it? It's 3 points in a tight title race against a very good team. But they've spent all this time talking about the things that don't matter.
Exactly.
And that's everything that's wrong with football now.
Yeah.
Football media, football journalism, all of it.
Agreed.
Yeah. There's so many more things they could talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Even I was watching that and getting infuriated. Like, put some fucking respect on Salah's name.
Well, anyone's name. It's just like anyone.
Oh, you know. No, I know anyone, but still, like, come on.
Yeah, he's done all right.
Yeah, they were fucking banging on about that. It was
because they've got nothing to talk about.
It was noticeable.
They have to talk about something.
As a Man United fan, it was noticeable.
They have to manufacture it.
They've got nothing to talk about. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's they could do some research. Like, there's so many things.
It's not even just that, is it? It's the fact that they know that hating on something gets more numbers than loving on something.
Spot on.
Well, also that as well.
Also that.
And we don't do that.
And they can clip that out and put it out and go.
There you go.
Exactly.
And then in the comments, it will just be people arguing for it or against it. It's fucking so tiring.
It's so tiring. Yeah. Which leads me nicely on to Seb.
Apparently, there's a Gary Neville podcast now that Sky Sports do after games.
So Not another one.
On top of the overlap and stick to football.
That's been going on about 5 years.
The Gary Neville podcast. It's Peter Drury just talking to him.
Yeah, it used to be Martin
Tyler. It's another 25, 30 minutes of Gary Neville. We don't need any more Gary Neville.
Out. Tommy.
Oh, person who takes friendly football too seriously.
He's sat too seriously.
No, because I'm like that. But you know, someone who gets I care. But oh my God, on the pitch when it's like training, booting the walls.
Out. Birdo.
Similar. Aggressive goalkeepers.
In football you play in or football you watch?
Yeah, football I play in. Yeah, like
my ears are burning.
Like coming out to corners and properly trying to punch it and not caring if there's someone in the way. And it's just like fair game. This is why
I'll end up as the people's keeper rather than you. Because when the muck and bullets are flying, you'll be cowering like that. Oh no, I can't do it.
Nah. But like,
I'll be coming through both hands. Like, great punch by Blackhurst. That's gone to the halfway line. That's almost as good as a kick. Where's Bird? He's carrying on the line.
No, I'm just saving penalties. Your penalties.
Oh. When is this happening?
Yeah, like being too aggressive and like charging out their box and fucking sliding into someone who doesn't really know that they're coming. Just at seven aside, it's just like just
what between mates?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you can cause some damage. No. Like fucking, you're using your hands. You're fucking sprinting 20 yards, sliding into someone. Just
I'd say in a league, anything.
Just fair calm game. It down.
Sounds like good goalkeeping to me. In. That's in. Asad.
Mine is the increase in football clubs posting their players' training ground fits on Instagram. Now hear me out. Like a Koundé or a Crystal Palace or a Belgium. All right, they're well dressed, right? But if it's like Southampton posting their players in trackies, they can wear trackies, it's fine. They're turning up for training.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everything has to be content. Not everything has to be content.
You've seen the Liverpool ones? Verge turns up in some absolute rascals.
Salah shows up in stuff you wouldn't catch.
No, Salah's good.
He is, but some of the
fucking, I've seen your patchwork dream heads.
Old
fucking Sue Ryder Raza.
But yeah, not everything has to be content is my thing.
The fucking,
if they turn up in matching trackies, fine. It's not fit, is it?
I don't know.
Some people can express individual. They're not all individuals, is what I'm trying to say.
Out, fine. Yeah. Right, now to the non-football internet. Let me have a look. Birdo seems to be having psychological difficulties. So let's go straight with him. James, what's your in?
Having your bedroom window open at night. It's so nice.
But that's how people got. That's how they got in before and abducted you for good.
it's just so nice.
So the dingoes got in.
So nice, no matter what the temperature is, just having fresh air at night. If it's cold, just fucking add an extra duvet, an extra sheet, just having that cold air.
Isn't it noisy where you live though?
No, not at the back.
Does Matilda like the window open?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. You both do. Yeah. See, if you both do, it's great.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she just sat there freezing.
Yeah. And I've stayed at James's with the windows open, and they are very nice.
I suppose. It's a nice thing.
It is nice. That, James.
Did you write Tommy's ear as well? You've put your brother's food blog in.
Yeah. Out. Oh, no, it is. Oh, come on.
Out. Sorry, Rich. Go on. What are you saying?
My brother's got a Substack. It's very good. He's an incredible chef. I think it's called Rich in Food. He changed the name recently. But he's a good writer and he's fucking amazing chef. And I want to see him follow his passion rather than, you know, just like doing a sort of office job, which he's gets paid well in and he's good at. But, you know. He's an unbelievable chef. So.
Yeah, but you don't want a life in the kitchen. It's fucking miserable.
Not that, no.
Feel about, no, nice.
How do we feel about Nepo siblings on this podcast? I don't know. I'll come back to that. Seb.
Kin. Set in Dublin, Irish gangster series on BBC iPlayer. Well worth your time, I would say.
Ian, I suppose. I mean, you'll be telling us about this bloody fucking great little Italian-American film called The Godfather next, won't you? Oh, Seb, things move slow down in Somerset. It's about his fifth series, isn't it? Asad.
Mine is cupping therapy. Me and my mate Gustav, he was like, "You're hairy, I'm hairy, I'm going to use lots of oil on you." And then he gave me a 20-minute deep tissue massage, prepping me for the cups, and then we used the cups, and I felt like a god afterwards.
He used oil for the massage, did he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting, because oil massage is often more relaxing, whereas a good deep tissue, you don't want any oil.
I didn't know that, you know.
Well, you're young, aren't you?
Yeah, that's
stick
true.
With me, kid.
it was incredible, and he
is for the short term
because I'd injured my back. I was gonna just go get like a sports massage, but he was like, actually, due to your like back, I'd recommend you get acupuncture or keep doing cupping because of the blood flow to my back.
Or 8 to 12 weeks ago, when you fell off that fucking Lime scooter, listen to Owen, who was trying to tell you should go and get it checked out because it was going to get worse.
It did get worse.
Do you remember he kept saying, "Oh, it's better now," and then 2 days later, he couldn't walk up the stairs.
Mm. Yeah, it was bad.
Mm, there you go. I suppose any type of massage or therapy, I am very much in for self care. So in, my in is buckwheat. James will probably know what buckwheat is. Seb, whatever, fucking Scooby.
Carrots are off little rascals.
He's in the pocket, isn't he? Big gluten.
Yeah, so buckwheat isn't actually a wheat, although it sort of looks like it comes in groats or flakes or flour. But it's actually a member. It's actually a fruit. It's closely related to rhubarb. Anyway, that's not the point. You can get, if you've ever had soba noodles, that's made out of buckwheat. So it's gluten-free. I've replaced oats with it, and I've been making things out of it, bread and pancakes. If you've ever had blinis, Seb wouldn't have had blinis. It'd be an old new.
Played up front of you, Nays, didn't he?
There we go. Anyway, yeah. Buckwheat.
Always good.
Buckwheat is fucking great. Big in Eastern Europe and Slavic countries, and also the big bad place we can't really talk about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, buckwheat.
Wincanton.
Correct. Buckwheat is it? Oh.
Milton Keynes.
The thing is,
that was there, right there.
If I made you a buckwheat pancake, right, with your bloody one taste bud.
Oh, sensational.
Have you ever made a normal pancake?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I have. Not very well. I'm not very
the premix one.
That's what Rebecca.
No, you're taking.
That's what
piss.
Rebecca and Ava call you anyway, isn't it? Pancake.
Pancake. Yeah.
Always flips his lid. Always flips. When's Wheelie been back, Mummy?
When has Wheelie been?
When's old Greenburn back, Mum? Out. I'm going straight into most gluten-free bread because most of it is fucking crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like fucking like cardboard. Yeah. It's really horrible. Difficult. My wife has given up gluten. It's changed her life. But it means that me and Zach are trying to eat more gluten-free bread in support. It's hard going. It's hard. So I'm going to start making my own and try and perfect it and then become a gluten-free bread impresario.
Oh.
Seb.
Leaf blowers.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the amount of time you spend moaning to me about leaf blowers on calls.
Well, exactly. That's my point. They always seem to be around me, pestering me. Noise polluting, polluting with the fumes.
Do you think it's people trying to get rid of you?
Maybe.
Trying to blow them away.
Anyway, it's Rebecca and Ava in a room downstairs.
Simon Kellner from the I newspaper called him the worst advice of the 21st century, so I'm with him.
The worst advice or the worst device? James Bird.
I'm changing it from that, actually.
No, let's go with your original one, please.
Well,
James has had some problems down below, by the sounds.
No. That's what I was going to change.
James has got plumbing issues.
Plumbing issues in the house. There's a smell. My plumber, my mate Anthony, came around to fix it, and he did his usual thing. We're all really matey, and we get on really well. And
you swore a bit. All right, Anthony, you fucking can't.
And then he charges me £80 and goes home, and then the thing still isn't fixed.
Out, Assad.
Basement gyms.
Why?
Mainly because they've put all their treadmills facing. Just an empty like brick wall.
It's not going to be a window, is it? It's in a basement.
No, exactly.
What else do you want them to do?
It's a bad vibe, so I've just started doing long walks instead.
Interesting. Basement gyms. I went to a very good one in New York recently, so they're in. And that was the 50th episode of Remind You Why I Love Football. Buy the magazine, read, rate and review and share and do all the things you need to do to keep us going. I've been Owen Blackhurst, he's been Assad Raza, he's been James Bird, he's been Seb White, he's been Tommy Stewart. Thank you as ever to Spiritland, and on we go.
Thank you.
Cheers. Love you, mate.
James, I'm going to start with you on this and you can go from right to left. This is from Arbiter of Joy. I thought it said a biter of joy then. It's Arbiter of Joy. A biter of joy would be weird. What's your favourite thing about each other?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, from right to left. What is my favourite thing about Tommy Stewart? I would argue that it is
you don't have to argue it.
Relentless positivity.
Oh, thank you, mate.
And I think...
Do you follow him on Instagram?
I think that you could be considered an arbiter of joy.
Thank you.
There you go. What is my favourite thing about Sebastian Dennis White? It is undying, unwavering love for football. Absolutely. My favourite thing about Assad is his sense of humour. I think he's very, very funny and clever and intelligent. Owen, what is my favourite thing about you? Christ alive.
Too many to list.
It's too much.
Well, yeah. I imagine it's
Which one?
Could be here all day.
I'd say my favourite thing about you is something that I also at times find annoying. But it's your ability to be so quick on the turn about anything.
Yeah.
So to be able to turn something that someone else has said into something funny or disgusting or sad, you're very, very off. You're fucking rapid, off the mark.
Yeah, very sharp.
With your comebacks. And you see, I think I'm quite good at delayed, composed sort of callbacks, whereas you, it's just fucking...
Yeah.
Like you can turn water into fire very, very quickly.
Stone cold stunner.
Yeah. So there you go.
Always.
Okay, that was very nice. I think Seb.
My favourite thing about Tommy is probably the laugh in the background, because again, positivity about what James has said, but the laugh when you sit and listen to the edits a lot. We do make sure that the episodes are as good as possible, and I listen to the edits a lot, but Tommy's laugh is just so infectious, it will make me smile every time. I think, James, I quite like the thoughtfulness and he is more considered, what he just said there. I do think, he might take time to say it, but what he does say is very good. Because obviously, you're all four of you are my very, very dear friends.
Assad,
I think the youthfulness and energy, even though he's an old soul, is very important, and what he's brought to Mundial since he's been involved, and this podcast as well, I think it's an important part, so we're not just load of old blokes saying the same thing.
He's only been on four.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean...
And me?
Yeah. You are the best storyteller I know of anyone I've ever met.
That's very nice. Very kind. I said?
For Tommy, the voice notes he sends me at random times of the day. Just funny, a very personable bloke who I've come very close with in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Seb, perhaps the kindest person I've ever met, full stop, I think.
Thank you. That's very nice, isn't it?
You need to find some new
This is very wholesome. I think he's a very generous person. And
thank you. You're getting your bloody money's worth here, Arbiter of Joy.
Yeah. It's nice, though, isn't it?
James, in a similar vein, it's the memes he sends me that are kind of inappropriate on a work day. But also, he cares about people, and I like that. And I think he cares about me, which is nice.
I think he does.
And
if not, he's a bloody cat.
And in a similar vein, Owen, I think it's your wit. Just think you're one of the funniest people I've met. If Seb is one of the most joyful, I think you're one of the funniest.
I'll take that. Yeah. Suppose it's left to me then.
Oh, I've not done mine.
Haven't you?
But it's fine.
No. Well, you can go.
It's fine. It's fine.
He just starts crying already.
Owen, obviously your humour and your honesty. And there's four or five specific people in my life who I've met, and I was telling my mum this, who tickle me in that particular way that makes me belly laugh like that.
I've told you, it's not appropriate in a workplace.
And you are one of them, and we became really close during the pandemic, so, you know, hopefully you'll always be a friend for life.
Two lost men.
There you go. We found each other. Assad, you make me feel young and you make me see things differently. I think you're one of the most intelligent people I know, even though you're like, how old are you? 15, something, 24. Yeah. Likewise, I love messaging you, and I love how close we've become, even though we've only met each other about 7 or 8 times.
If this is the first time you ever listened to this, sorry.
James, I think we see a lot of things similarly, like romantically, and like to see things those ways. I feel like that day when we did the Acast thing and we spent some time on our own on the tube and like, yeah, you feel like a brother to me. Like, you know, same sort of age. And I like how much you talk about your family as well, like I do, like your brother and dad.
That's true.
And Seb's a cunt. No, Seb, you know, like, I wrote down what you said. I said generosity and kindness. You came to my London gig before you'd even met me, really. Yeah. There's like 30 fucking people there, and you've gone out the way to make me feel welcome here and very loved, and I love you lot and I love this job, so thank you.
Just quickly, really lovely words. That's lovely. Tommy. Poignant, beautiful, you know, well told. But what's really funny about that, about the thing about the Acast thing, is we were high as fuck.
Yeah. We had the weed vape. I forgot about it. And I had broken ribs.
I got onto the tube and was just like, oh, I haven't smoked this in a while.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Before, right?
No, after.
On the, way back.
You see how we played?
We're waiting for a train.
I had a weed vape.
Do you want to go on this? And I was like, because of course his accent, despite being from Shrewsbury, is like Manchester. And I was like, yeah, go on then.
Were you back on the train? Yeah. I didn't notice.
Got back to Matilda. She was like, are you all right? You seem very relaxed. Like, yeah.
Good day. Just played 10 hours of football. Get me some crisps.
Disappearing to the sofa like that Mars advert.
I would say Seb for being perhaps the biggest fucking weirdo I know.
I like that.
But in a good way.
You said that.
I said, how are you?
Why am I mates? Why are we mates?
Why are we friends? But yeah. But in a good way. Just, you know, likes what he likes for football war. Assad's filthy. And some of the shit he sends me on Instagram is absolutely outrageous, and you should not be sending to your boss.
Yeah, the boundaries have dissolved. It's outrageous.
The boundaries have dissolved. James is quite argumentative. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. Tommy's very emotionally open, which I always think is a good thing.
Thanks, mate.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I feel like we've gone through the real fucking weeds. We've come out the other side.
This is therapy, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry,
it's reminding you where you love.
No. Do you know what that is, though? Can I just say? I think that's very nice. And I think one thing that I've enjoyed the most in this podcast over 50 episodes is the people. But we're honest with each other about all sorts of things, all manner of things. And the listeners do seem to enjoy that. So I think it just goes to show, sometimes you should just tell, you know, you should say, you should tell your mates. You enjoy them.
Hello, 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 listeners. It's me, your host, Owen Blackhurst. I might sound differently. I'm on my phone with a sheet over my head. I've had a message from producer Tommy Stewart saying, hello, mate, are you okay to record a little line or two saying we're having a mini break? Not me and Tommy, we're not going on a holiday. The podcast is having a mini break. Tommy said he's happy to script it if I'm busy, but I know you don't need that. Ha ha ha, he's right. No one writes my scripts for me. We are having a break. We decided that 50 episodes is not only a monumental achievement, but a good way to celebrate the end of season one, and means we can have a little bit of a break, freshen things up. Tommy can have a breather, Seb can have a breather, me and James can maybe do a bit of research for once instead of just arguing. So we are going to have a couple of weeks off. We'll be back with season two, but here is my little line or two, and we love you all. Thanks so much for the support over the first 50 episodes. Here's to the next ones. Up the RYWYLF. Did I get that right? Bye. Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Monday Al and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.